Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of Grand Gran and Baba, Doc Jones and Mama Ya, Lucky, Stormy, and then Antoinette and Geraldine, Doc Stovall, Sister Parsi, and Brother DeBrille send forth the energy to make us feel our work is not in vain. Glory be unto their name, for they trained us to adhere to the teachings of Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey,
I say one more day, and thank you all for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers People by way of MasterGriot.com. We always have to send MasterGriot.com a strong black shout out for allowing us the opportunity as well as the responsibility of listening and learning with the people all at the same time. We definitely thank you all for tuning in with us this evening. And this evening we have a very, very, I'm not going to say a light show, but it'll be lighter than normal. Here lately, we've been talking about pig brutality or police terrorism is what we call it. Also been talking about slick conspiracies that the government has put forth in order to annihilate the black man and the black woman due to their fear of genetic annihilation. And we've been talking about these subjects for a very, very, very long time, almost as long as we've been on the air. But actually tonight, we're going to speak with Sister Natalie of the Marcus Garvey Institute here in Memphis, Tennessee. You will never see a Jewish child, a Jewish family send their child to a German school to be educated. That's something that we have been trained and tricked into doing. We send our children directly into the hands of our enemy to be educated, and we actually think that they're going to do a good job and educating our children, to where it's not your oppressor's job to educate your child. It's our job to educate our children in the manner that we see fit. And as long as we keep sending our children directly into the hands of the enemy to be educated, they're always going to be purposely miseducated, as we see here, in especially in Memphis, Tennessee. We have to really understand that Memphis is the distribution capital of the nation. And what that means is that every major corporation has a storage facility somewhere in the city, or I'm going to say every major corporation, but many major corporations have some type of storage facility or warehouse facility located in the city of Memphis or somewhere around the city of Memphis on the outskirts, meaning maybe Colleyville or Germantown, or, you know, so on and so on, yada, 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 woo, woo, woo. But what that does is that means that the Memphis City school system has a responsibility to fulfill the need for pickpack workers and forklift drivers and truck drivers. And how many people in the city of Memphis do you know who works at FedEx? And so the city of Memphis is really doing their job when it comes to educating our children. We know that there are two courses that they can go on, either a collegiate course or a technical course, and they have to choose this course sometimes early as 7th and 8th grade, How do you expect a 12 or 13-year-old to know what they want to do for the rest of their lives? But that's how they do our children in the city school system. And we complain, and we complain that our children are lost, that our children have no idea of who they are and whose they are. And we complain that our children don't know their history. But, however, that is not your oppressor's job to teach your children to feel good about themselves. It's their job to teach your children to grow up to serve them, to be slaves. In short, that is what the city of Memphis is doing. And so what we have is the Marcus Garvey Institute located here in Memphis, Tennessee. And what they're doing is they're educating children in an Afrocentric fashion, to where they're learning the same thing as they would learn in the public school, but as Malcolm said, it's minus the little black Sambo, it's minus the Christopher Columbus, it's minus the neocolonialism and imperialism that you and I have been taught in the public school system. So we definitely have to wrap our arms around this institution, and we have to support this institution so that they can keep turning out these very, very bright students. I've been fortunate enough to have taught poetry and communication at the Marcus Garvey Institution here in Memphis, and it is a beautiful institution indeed. Our history with the school goes back some years, and it's just always a pleasure to speak with them. It's a pleasure to be there and see these young children learning and being taught, you know, about King Hannibal and Nat Turner and Will the Executioner and Queen Nzinga, Queen Ashantiwa. And those are things that will not be taught to us in the public school system. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to get to a quick tune by yours truly, Brothers Keeper. If you all have yet to pick up that Re-Education of the Negro CD, feel free to go to cdbaby.com/brotherskeeper and the number 2 and pick that CD up. It helps us feed the homeless. It helps our youth prison prevention program. It helps our youth theater program and poetry seminars. It helps us keep these programs free for the children who participate in them. So go to cdbaby.com/brotherskeeper and the number 2 and pick that CD up. And when we come back, we will be speaking with Sister Natalie of the Marcus Garvey Institute, and we will be talking about the institute and how that the community can pull together and support this institute. Check out Yahuru by Brothers Keeper. Right back with you. Thank you. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's Yahuru by yours truly, Brother Steeper. If you all have yet to pick that CD up, feel free to go to cdbaby.com/brotherspeeper and the number 2 and pick that CD up. Do it for us. Do it for the people. Help us. Help us. Can you dig it? Big brother, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How you doing this evening, man? What's going on with you?
Man, I am that I am, brother. Just getting ready and prepared for what it is that the Creator got us to do, though.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Always trying to overthrow white supremacy.
Always.
Yes, indeed. And as we said earlier, big brother, you will never see a Jewish family send their child to a German school to be educated. We are the only people who have been tricked into sending our children directly into the hands of our oppressor in order to be educated. And so tonight we're going to speak with a young lady who is doing something about taking the power into their own hands in order to educate our children. We're speaking with Sister Natalie of the Marcus Garvey Institute. Are you there, sister?
Yes, I am. How are you tonight?
All right, fine. How about you, sir?
I'm doing great, great.
Wonderful, wonderful. First of all, thank you for sharing your evening with us on this very important subject that we're discussing tonight. I read a couple of years ago that Memphis had the fourth worst school system in the nation at that time, and I don't think that it has changed much right
probably
now.
Probably gotten worse, bro.
It probably has gotten worse. There is a gang redirection program that we run, and one of the first youth that we began to deal with, the young man was a senior at one of the high schools. He was a senior and had graduated, and the brother could not read.
Mm-hmm.
And so just so happened we knew some people who were running a literacy class, and we put him through the literacy class, and now the young man is doing very well. He actually owns his own business right now. But this is the, had it not been for, this young brother finding some, us being able to find some people who could help this young man, there's no telling what would have or could have happened to him. And he went all the way through the school system without even knowing how to read. Sister Natalie, how long has the Garvey Institute been open?
Well, let me start off by thanking you for inviting us to be on your program. It certainly is an honor. We've had an opportunity to spend a lot of time over the years with Brothers Keeper. So this is wonderful to see that you all have this new achievement for you, which is, it's outstanding. So congratulations to you. And again, thank you. We always need a platform to talk about what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Yes.
The school was founded in 1997 by a group of community activists who were looking for and very concerned about the education of our children as they had grandchildren and small children who were becoming of age. What were they going to do with these children? And one of those founders had heard of a school out in Los Angeles, the Marcus Garvey Institute in Los Angeles, and decided, I think Dr. Onion Palmer had been here, who's the founder of that school, and they had gone to see him in a lecture and had had a chance to meet with him and talk to him and gotten some literature on his school. And so they decided, let's go out and look and see what they're doing. Maybe this is something that we can do. And these founders came from all walks of life, literally. Social workers and teachers in the public system, as well as doctors and some lawyers. And they took a trip out and decided that this was something, and it was a good thing, and it was something that we needed to bring here to this city and that our children would benefit from it. So in 1998, the school opened its doors, and 99 received its nonprofit status, and in 2000 moved into the building we're in today.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Just took a dream and a do it, didn't it?
That's it. That's a dream and a few people.
That's right. That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Like the sister said, we've gotten a really had the opportunity to spend a lot of time there at the Institute, and I'm talking about the first time I went there, man. I was invited to do a poetry seminar with the children, and so, I have this, this vision in my head of young children and poetry, so I go in there, hello, I'm Brother Jamalo, how are you today, because it was younger kids, right?
Right.
They're like, good morning, Brother Jamalo, and I'm like, oh, man, these kids are And so I'm like, well, I'm here to do a poetry workshop with you all. who were some of your favorite poets? And, you know, I'm thinking, I'm really not prepared to hear what the answer I got. You know, one little sister, well, that third line in Amira Baraka's poem, Someone Blew Up America, was really written in the style of, I'm like, what? And, you know, and so I'm like, right. Okay, well, that's just, she's a freak of nature. That's just a little, one little smart kid out the room. But then next thing you know, another young man raises his hand and, oh, yes, well, if you want to speak on poetry that has been recorded, the last poets, niggas are scared of revolution. They didn't mean to be disrespectful, but they were just saying that the mindset of our people who are afraid of change, good change. I was like, man, you have got to be kidding me. Little adults about poetry, you know?
That's right.
But these are the kind of students that the Marcus Garvey Institute is teaching. And, sister, if you will, the listening crowd really wants to know, you know, every time we tell people, you know, that we do have a private school that works with black children, what do y'all teach them? Are y'all teaching hate? Y'all teaching them to hate white folk and, you know, all this type of stuff. So would you
right.
Go down to the listening crowd, what is taught at the Garvey Institute?
You know, I'll start off by just talking to the listening crowd about who Marcus Garvey was first. Because that's usually the first thing that the first question we get, and it's surprising to me that so many people don't know who he is. And the first thing they think is that we are a religious organization and we're teaching religion. This is a non-secular school. We welcome children from all walks of life, from all faiths. It is not our responsibility to teach you about who you believe and what you believe. What we're there to do is to educate and feed your black mind. So we're not in there teaching hate. We're in there teaching love of self first.
That's right.
And that's most important. See, what we believe and what we look at and what we know is that they learn about everybody else every time they turn on the television, every time they turn on the radio, every time they open a book. But very rarely do they hear about themselves in a good light. So our curriculum is an economic-based curriculum that is infused with a culturally specific instruction and awareness. So we're teaching them about themselves. So if you come into our school or if you talk to our children, they'll tell you that they are the mothers and fathers of civilization.
That's right.
They know where they come from. They know what they, even as young as our kindergartners, begin to learn about their history, about how they influence this world, and about how this world and this universe would be without them. So we try to start that as a part of their foundation. So there's no hatred to be taught. We just don't talk about anybody else. We talk about ourselves because everybody else talks about themselves. So why shouldn't we teach our children to love themselves? You know, one of the things that when people talk or when we hear that, you know, that rhetoric about hatred, I always want to ask, especially when it comes from someone of non-color, do you, because that's who they are now, non-color, do you buy dolls for your children to look like me? And they always have the strangest look on their faces. So if you're not buying dolls for your children to look like me, why should I put my child in a school that looks like you?
Exactly.
So I want the image, and that's what we're teaching them. And they get everything in advance that they should get. We teach advanced math. So every level from kindergarten through sixth grade is 1 year advanced. So our kindergartners receive first and some second grade curriculum, in accordance to the public system. Our first and second graders receive second and third grade, our third and fourth graders, and so on, until by the time our children reach sixth grade, they are very equipped to go into seventh and eighth grade, if not above. So they are very successful. Fundamentally, we spend a lot of time on reading and math. If I can read and I can count, there is nothing that I can't do.
That's right.
Math is a universal language, so we spend a lot of time in those areas as well as teaching them about themselves. We do a very, again, culturally specific activities. We do a lot of public speaking programs, personal development, which Brother Jamalo, I think you mentioned earlier, the poetry class and communication, which we love having you, wish you could come back. That's a little throw that out there, see if you can say yes and not say no.
Love to be back.
We can get you to come back, shame you back into coming on back and putting us back on your busy agenda. So, but they're getting all the things that they should have, plus they are being exposed to those things that they probably wouldn't be exposed to, other especially about our history, other than slavery and civil rights. So we know that we began before then, and we continue to go after that. So foreign languages, culture, art, sciences, mathematics, grammar. We teach reading, which is something that they've taken out of the public system. They're not teaching reading classes. The only children that go to reading are children who have problems or special ed. We teach reading and phonics from kindergarten all the way through sixth grade. One of the unique things with our kindergarten is that they don't graduate our kindergarten unless they're able to read on a first or second grade level.
That's right.
And I like to say that one thing that you said when you first started is that you were saying that a lot of people don't know who Marcus Garvey is or was.
Right.
And I remember one time when we were having a poetry, show, a youth talent show or something like that. I think it was a youth talent show.
Yeah.
And people were calling up and they were asking to speak to Marcus Garvey because they wanted their kid to be in the talent show. And we were just, you come on and bring your child, too. You come with them. And,
That's right.
I think the first time that I had the pleasure of noticing the brilliance of the children of the Marcus Garvey Institute is we were there for a program. I think that was my first time there. And Sister Athena did libations. And the sister spoke and ran off those names as if they were family members of hers.
That's right.
That was so amazing because she even said names that I hadn't said or thought about in a long time. And then when I started to see the children doing algebra in first and second grade, and I'm like, I didn't get algebra till I got in the 10th or 11th. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So it's like, those babies are going to be so far more, or so far ahead of the class once they, you know, get into that upper grades and everything. It's just, it's amazing, and it's wonderful. And I take my hat off to you all down at the Marcus Garvey Institute. As much as y'all love us, we love y'all the same way. And anytime y'all want us there, y'all just tell us what day and what time, and we're gonna try to make it. We're going to try to make our way on back down there because we're real obedient.
We definitely have a big event coming up in May, and we're going to need everybody's support. We are doing our festival that we usually do in May. It's called the Excellence in Education Weekend. We have three events planned, an all-male fashion show, and it's a father-son fashion show. Celebrating men and their sons, and we're going to have a festival in Southside Park, which is right across from where we are at 565 South Parkway East, on the corner of South Parkway and Lauderdale, right across from there, and then on that, as well as the 5K walk run, and then on the 17th of May, we're going to have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. So we look forward to Brothers Keepers coming on down and blessing us with some of your poetry and some of your wisdom. Definitely, the children always get so inspired by your poetry and your performances and the words that you speak. And it's interesting because one of the ills in our public school system is that they don't really believe and our children. So they limit their ability to learn. They limit what they're taught versus exposing them to all the aspects of education. So you're always surprised when you have a 7 or 8 or 9-year-old who can stand in front of you and hold an adult-like intelligent conversation or who can recite poetry by Langston Hughes. With feeling and understand every single word.
Exactly.
So our children are always inspired when they hear from Brothers and Keepers, and they absolutely love you all. So anytime you get down there, you know, Sister Pasha will be calling you up. So
Where you and we're gonna be there because we're scared to get the whoopings.
One thing we know, do not fool with Sister Pashi. We love her. We know she means business.
Exactly.
Very passionate about these children and about this school and what we've been trying to do. So.
Yes, ma'am.
And you've got to be. And I've seen how students have not been doing so well in the Memphis City school system, and their parents finally get them out of the school and send
right.
them to Darby. And you see how this child flourishes, you know. The child, like she said, you know, they have a heavy duty emphasis on scholastics, and history falls in there as well, as she said, teaching them about themselves. And when you teach these young people about Shaka Zulu and King Hannibal and who we Imhotep, when these young people learn who they are and whose they are, there's a lot of things that they stop doing, and it's a lot of things that they begin doing. And one
exactly.
thing that I have never heard students at the Marcus Garvey Institute checking and ranking. Never. And our children have been, you know, and it's fun and game what we used to do. You know, most of the time we didn't mean any harm by it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, a lot of these complexes that we bring into our adult life come from the checks and the dozens and the ranking and the name calling in the spirit of fun, sometimes in the spirit of meanness as well, that
mm-hmm.
happened to us when we were children. And
that's
it's just,
right.
you know, the psychological molding of these children that the Marcus Garvey Institute does. I mean, and it's, and like the sister said, the first thing they do is start out with who Marcus Garvey is.
Exactly.
Right.
And Marcus Garvey spoke of the importance of our own media. He spoke of the importance of our own religious institutions, our own financial institutions, our own transportation institutions, and our own educational institutions. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so they are following suit, and I know that Elder Garvey is doing nothing but smiling at you all. Is there a way that the community can support the school?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Via our website, we definitely have a website at www.mmgita.org. You can I'm sorry, www.mmgita.org. Or you are welcome to come in with any talents that you have. We're always looking for talented members of the community who want to lend a hand, whether it be in tutoring, whether it be in book donations, whether it be if you are a carpenter and you can fix something, come on by. We're always looking for something from somebody. And, you know, again, this is a village. So we're at 565 South Parkway East. I'm on the corner of South Parkway and Lauderdale. And whatever can be done, we don't say no to anything.
Right, right, right in the middle of the hood where it's needed. And,
that's
what,
right.
What age do you all start taking the children?
Well, we start at kindergarten. So from kindergarten until sixth grade, we look at and try to assess the child's skill set. And based upon skill set, we try to determine the best fit for that child. And because the curriculum is more advanced, it usually works out well for our children. And then because we keep our classroom sizes small, children are able to get the one-on-one attention. There are no distractions because we don't allow the checking. We don't have any favorites. We love everybody equally the same. So there are no teacher's pets, and nobody's singled out for being cute or having pretty hair or, you know, lighter in skin, or you got cute shoes on, or, you know, your mama's a this or your daddy's a that. We don't single. We are all the same. We all have to play together. We all have to love each other. So, you know, we try to create that environment so that children who come from systems where they haven't loved them the way they should, they are able to flourish in that system. So we really look at, you know, sometimes a child may be in a situation where fundamentally, as you talked about, the young man who had graduated from high school and couldn't read, you know, we have children who come in who are third grade, sometimes second grade, and really are not equipped to be in our second grade. So sometimes they have to start back just a little bit, and then we're able to move them through based upon their performance. So we really try to, we have some five-year-olds who've gone to second grade because they were that good. So we're not going to hold you back, but we're not going to put you anywhere that you don't need to be just because you're 17 years old.
And the sister was saying, Brother Yele, about, you know, sometimes when the students may have come from the public school system and they're not as advanced as the other students, I've seen this done at the Marcus Garvey Institute to where it doesn't even take the student who's behind because the teaching is so, you know, it's so personable, and I'm not even going to say personable, the teaching is so family-oriented that the student almost immediately catches up with the rest of the students. You know what I'm saying?
Because they want to learn.
Exactly, because they put in an environment to where they're rewarded for being smart.
That's right.
And see, sometimes
that's the only reason they're rewarded.
One thing that I have noticed, exactly, and as being a parent myself, is that a lot of times what is going on in the public school is so boring and mundane that the children can do the work so quickly that the only time they have so much time on their hands, so they tend to start doing mischievous stuff because they got too much time on their hands. It's not challenging enough.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So when you get to a place where the curriculum is challenging the children and they're having to do more and having to be quicker and faster and smarter and brighter and start articulating and understand and comprehend and stuff like that. When you have all that going on, it makes the child's mind work and do more, so that child wants to learn. I see young children that go to the Marcus Garvey school wake their parents up in the morning and say, "Hey, we got to go to school on time."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this very, very seldomly will you even see a child going to the public school. If you running late, they ain't going to wake you up.
Right.
Because they don't want to go.
That's right.
So,
that certainly was a product of that public system. And, brother, you are exactly correct. It was, you know, it was not a challenge for me. So, academically, I performed well above my grade level. But behavior, if I got an N in conduct, my mother was happy. You know, it was like, ooh, you know, you did pretty good this 6 weeks. You didn't get a U. So we certainly try to keep them busy. And our philosophy is that if the child in my class has a behavior problem, it's because I'm not doing my job. It's not the child's fault. It's my fault as the teacher, because it's my responsibility to educate that child. And if that child has that much time on their hands that they become a behavior issue, then I'm not doing my job.
Not keeping them busy enough. And he would
not keeping them busy.
That our children learn by observation and participation. And that's one thing that the school system, public school system, does not do with our children. My oldest daughter graduated from Kingsbury. And her English teacher called me one day and was saying that my child was talking during class. And so I pretty much knew the teacher wasn't, you know, lying on my baby. You know, I know my children. I talk. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I asked the teacher, "Well, what were you all discussing?" And she said, "Well, we're in the literature part of our lesson." I said, "Well, what literature are you all discussing?" And she said, "Emily Dickinson." And I said, "So you mean to tell me you're teaching a bunch of black children about Emily Dickinson?" I said, "What poem were y'all reading?" And she said, "Well, why does it matter what poem we were reading?" I said, "Because I don't even want to hear Emily Dickinson, and I'm grown."
Said, exactly.
"In a classroom full of black children, you should be reading, you know, Amira Baraka, or at least, you know, Sonia Sanchez or Nikki Giovanni or somebody."
Right.
And, well, I just don't see where that matters. I said, "I mean, it's your job not to know. You know, that's why you were put in Kingsbury. Aren't you a white woman?" when I don't see why this conversation is over because I see it's not going anywhere. I said, okay, well, fine.
That's right.
You know, but as long as our children, you know, you take a little kids from the hood and they're reading poems about flowers and trees that flow so ever gently through the breeze. That has nothing to do with our surroundings.
That's right.
Period, you know, but when they hear Umar bin Hasim say the streets are calling, ignore them, the streets are calling, we can understand that.
That's right.
Fact, you know, and the Garvey Institute does a beautiful job. I mean, not only the poetry and communication part, but I've seen the mathematics, the reading, and I mean just the way they deal, even when, you know, when children are going to be children, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
even when the little disciplinary problems come up, I'm talking about they're nipped in the bud so quickly that it's like it never happened, you know what I'm saying?
Wait.
I mean, Sister Natalie don't play games either.
No.
You know, that's interesting you say that because I think that my bark is certainly worse than my bite. You know, I'm very, very serious about them learning. And we encourage them to speak up. We encourage them to talk back. We encourage them to have conversations. We encourage them to ask questions. Don't be afraid to talk. Don't be afraid to say no. We give them choices. What do you want to have happen? What should I do now? We make them a part of that process. You know, that's the only way they think. So when you come in, our children aren't jumping up and down trying to show you a new dance step that they learned off the videos. They grabbing a book.
That's right.
They want to go to the board and work a math problem for you because that's how we reward them.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And also, like
I
said,
we're serious about it.
And I've seen discipline in action. And my thing is, your bark may be worse than your bite, but they don't know that.
Not at all. Not at all.
Exactly.
You take privileges away. We're not doing blue ribbons. Blue ribbons don't work. What is a blue ribbon for me? You know, you gotta. It has to mean something and be impactful to me. So, you know, our disciplinary process, we're very serious about it. You get away with a whole lot, but when it comes to getting that work done, zero tolerance.
Exactly, and that's what we need. And that strict discipline is what we need because in so many instances, the discipline is not even in the home.
It's
so,
not.
If the discipline is not in the home, then the child is going to do what it is that they do at home if they can get away with it.
That's
but
right.
But one thing about it, when they know that this ain't what you do at home and you're going to act a certain way here, they may cut up at home. But when they walk through that door, they're proper and in line, and it's not no whole lot of, y'all need to be quiet, y'all need to shut up. I hear one time. You all are too loud. Everything get quiet.
One of the other things we try to make them do is they work as a team.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I fail, you fail. If so and so don't get their work done, nobody's going outside. So you gonna leave him alone or leave her alone so they can get their work, or you gonna go over there and help your classmates?
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
And so they learn from that. They understand that. So I very rarely have to do a lot of the disciplinary process with them because they discipline each other. Be quiet.
Exactly.
Get your work finished. You know.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, I mean,
and you get in trouble.
Exactly. They know.
These children are, and we don't want it to make it seem like to the listening audience that it's some type of a mini jail camp or something because children thoroughly enjoy learning.
Exactly.
And then also, speaking of discipline, the power of the drums is just mighty. Every young man there knows how to play the drums.
Exactly.
And I would say 9 out of 10 of the young ladies are very familiar with African dancing. Can you speak on that, Sister Natalie?
Yes, that is a part of their cultural arts, the cultural arts curriculum. We're not learning Beyonce and Jay-Z. We're learning about the fundamentals of this universe. And all music started in Africa. And it started with the djembe. And so all of our young men learn that. Our kindergartners all the way through take djembe lessons. And we use, again, we go back to the village concept, and we are all one, and this is a family. We use our, for the younger children, for the kindergarten, we use our older young men from our sixth grade class to come and teach that class. All of our young ladies learn African dance, and African dance is one of the most beautiful dances that they could ever learn in self-expression and just the beauty of it, the emotion that outpours from it. And the kindergarten girls learn it too. So they learn to perform. They learn the beauty of their body. They learn the beauty of that sound of that drum. And I tell you, our boys can beat those drums.
Yes,
our girls can hit those steps.
Yes,
so
yes,
it is, if your listeners haven't seen them, they have missed a treat.
Yeah. I'm talking about they.
Also, the performances. The listening audience, if you all have never been to a Kwanzaa program and seen the kids just cut up sideways, if y'all ain't ever been to one of the awards programs for the kids, you all have missed a treat, because these children are phenomenal. I mean, you can see them reciting pieces, and it'll be hard for me to even understand how to recite the pieces that these children do. I mean, it's phenomenal, and they're doing such a wonderful job over there. And the main thing and the main focus is that these children have an understanding and a love for themselves that is immeasurable. And when they leave that school and they go out into the real world, you don't even have to ask them, do they know who they are? They know, and they're able to tell you about it.
Oh, yeah, they're very proud. They usually do very, very well when there are the occasions that they have to leave or they go to other schools. They are usually well more advanced than they should be, and they're performing academically very well. What we find sometimes is that it is a difficult transition for them, because they go from this our environment where they're loved, they're encouraged to open their mouths, they're encouraged to talk, they're encouraged to think.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go into an environment where they're told to sit down and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
If you be quiet, you'll pass this class.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's very, I'm glad you brought that up. That's something I hadn't thought about in the midst of the conversation, is that the community really needs to pull together so that, because we need a Marcus Garvey Institute in every black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we also need some, you know, some schools that will go from K to 12. And,
that's
even
right.
At the collegiate level, you know. So those of us, you know, these 10% Negroes.
That's right.
So the rest of the community needs you.
That's right.
Seriously. And like the sister said, though, when these babies leave the Garvey Institute, then it's a difficult transition. At first, you know, it's a culture shock. And,
right.
But the thing is that some of the parents whose children go to the school, they still live in the midst of the neighborhoods, you know, the hood. And
right.
So the children socially, you know, after school, you know, they may get a chance to, you know, go to the park and shoot ball with some cats who don't go to school with them. So they're still familiar with the environment. But for those of us, you know, who have been, I guess, fortunate or sometimes unfortunate, you know, to move out of the hood to
mm-hmm.
where we just go home and close our garage and come in the house and that's it on that, and our children are not really familiar with the goings-on of the real world.
Right.
Outside of the Afrocentric lessons that we teach them. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
we do them a grave disservice of not really giving them a reality of both worlds so that they'll know how to coexist
mm-hmm.
with our brothers and sisters who are not as so-called conscious as they are. But the
mm-hmm.
Institute does a real good job. You know, they're family. So it's not like you go in there and they're, you know, spewing all of these larger-than-life words at the children. So when the children go out into the real world, they're just, you know, bombarded with stupidity. But they'll know how to bring the brothers and sisters up to their level.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And, I mean, just a beautiful institution. And, I mean, our hats go off to you. Like we said, we love you all just as much as you all love us. I mean, when I was teaching at the Institute, I couldn't wait for Wednesdays to come. That was my highlight
mm-hmm.
of the week. You know?
And they loved it. They loved it because these children love to perform. They love to get up in front of people and speak their minds.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about black children. This melanin makes us something else.
Don't it do?
Yes, it does.
This melanin makes us something else. And when that melanin is released, and you see it in the manifestation of these children, because when they're allowed to talk, you know, they're taught, I mean, some of the simple things that, you know, I guess we don't maybe think about, things like, you know, speak when you come in to a building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have parents that don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you begin to teach your, the children to do it, they tell their parents, you're supposed to speak when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the simple things, small things where they're not ignored. They don't have to call your name four or five times.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to constantly ask and ask and ask for things. It is really, of course, certainly I'm very passionate. And I was in corporate America for a long time before I came to the school. So, you know, I see the importance of what we're doing for our children so young and to make sure that it's ingrained in them so that when they do go off to different places and they have different experiences, they're able to appreciate those experiences more because they're not confused about who they are.
Exactly.
Like the sister just said, Brother Yele, even on the example she gave of the children teaching their parents to walk into a room and speak, you know, that's what most of us, that's how most of us were raised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you walk into a room, you speak. But not only are these children doing this, the young man who we were speaking of earlier who came from the city school system to the Garvey Institute, this young man was going home teaching his parents who they are.
Yes.
Ain't that beautiful?
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And it's going to take that, brother. It's going to take that because, unfortunately, so many of us, and I'm speaking for people in my age bracket, who don't know a lot of things, man, sometimes you can't, you know, it's very difficult for you to teach something that you don't know yourself.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? And so as long as somebody in the household is getting the correct information and teaching the correct information, then there is still hope that there will be some kind of culture instilled in our children. But right now we're experiencing what the culture bandit does. He is stealing everything that is of us and teaching us to adhere to everything that's not of us. So now we have a role reversal going on, to whereas our young black girls don't think that they're beautiful unless they have blonde hair. You know, or our young men are not manly unless they have tattoos and pants sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now that they have taught us that that's who we are way over there, then they're trying to make themselves be us by the moral standards that we used to have and how we treat our women and elders and stuff like that. So what we have to do now, man, we have to really galvanize our neighborhoods and our young children and teach them and make sure that they know that they are beautiful. And they
That's
are
right.
the creators of the world. And they are the mothers and fathers of the world. And they are the Asantewas and the Imhoteps. And they are the Hannibals and all these particular people because that's who they are.
That's right.
That's right.
It just takes a little bit of research. It takes us all uniting and coming together and doing that. And it takes, you know, we're in a really tough time right now. You know, everybody's celebrating and we're excited. You know, we have the recognition from people of non-color African-American president. We know that there were others before him, but this is the first one that they will admit because they can't help. They don't have any other choice to admit that he's black. So we're all excited about that. What we fail to realize is that this is their ticket to really turn the screws on. And if we don't kick in, we're going to go all the way back and revert to what was going on during the Reconstruction.
Exactly. Same thing.
From the Civil War. That's what we're getting ready to go back to. If we don't kick it in and realize and recognize that if we don't unite and start doing things for ourselves, the same message that Marcus Garvey had back in the 30s, do for self, pull it together. Do for self, then we're going to be back in the Reconstruction again, because this is their ticket to say. Now, you can't say that you can't do anything you want to do. See? Look who our president is, the leader of the free world.
That's right. Mm. That's right. We have a caller on the line. 901, are you there?
Hello, good evening.
Hello, how are
good
you?
Evening.
Thank you for calling the Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. How are you?
And which of you is the Brothers Keeper himself?
Oh, well, that is Yale and Jamalo. Both of us are Brothers Keeper.
Okay, all right, hello. Well, you all, one of you, subscribe to my Clarksdale Community Forum. This is Professor Silence giving you a call.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, sir, that would be Jamalo. Yes, sir. Well, I'm the one who does the computer work, but it's, you know,
all right.
Talk to one, you talk to both.
That's right. I can appreciate it. Well, I was putting some messages in there in the chat room, but no one was responding. So I said, well, maybe they're just not looking in the chat room.
We sure are doing a couple of things at the same time while we're speaking to Sister Natalie of the Institute. So we apologize for that. We rarely have the chat room open on this show. We apologize, but we do thank you for listening and calling in.
Oh, most certainly, most certainly. One of the things that I was mentioning, I just read a few things because I said that I've taught at Marcus Garvey School in Los Angeles with Principal Dr. Anya Palmer a few years back, and his Stevie Wonder daughter was there at the time. And that was one of the things you mentioned about the school. I had to refer you, go back a bit. The only reason I called, too, was because no one was responding in there, and I know time was ticking away in the show. I see you only got about 6 minutes left, so I said, well, let me just reach on out, give them a quick call, because nobody's saying anything in this chat room right here. But just a lot of praise to the Marcus Garvey School and Institute, and I always held it in high esteem, I should say.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. We love to hear good news like that. So we're constantly fighting that battle, so we love to hear that.
Well, I'm also curious: is there a hiring of teachers going on at the time? Because I would be interested in knowing if, because I teach currently in the public school, but if you can't do the sort of things in the public school that you can do in the private type setting at Marcus Garvey School. So I just wonder, out of curiosity,
we're always looking for talented people to come in who love our children. One of the things is, as we all know, with the economy being as unstable as it has been, and it's interesting because, you know, it's always been bad for us.
Right.
So I don't know that we felt the impact as much as everybody else has. And they keep talking about all the jobs being lost and all the, well, it's always been bad here. So we were in a holding pattern, sort of. We were in the process of doing some things that would have helped us to renovate and really expand. So we're hoping that will come into fruition this summer. So it may be this fall.
Wonderful.
Very good. Very good. Well, I would always keep, like I said, I know several people who send their children to the Institute in Memphis. And I spoke to them on several occasions. They said, you know, you should go back. I said, you know, I hadn't thought about it, mainly because I live in Clarksdale. You can tell by my title there, if anybody got a chance to peek online at Clarksdale. I'm running for the position of commissioner here in town, as the incumbent has been on the board now for the last 32 years. So that's one of the things I'm working toward as we speak.
Well, good luck to you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
Serve the community very well. We definitely thank you for calling in. And as the brother did say, time is drawing nigh. We also want to congratulate you, brother, on the work. Say you were instrumental in helping start the one in L.A., so we thank you for starting an institution of higher learning out there in that area, as Sister Natalie and our brothers and sisters did here in Memphis. And Sister Natalie, again, we thank you for joining us this evening, spending your evening with us. And also, you all, the Marcus Garvey Institute will be having their own talk show on WRBG very shortly. And I do believe that will also be hosted by none other than Sister Natalie, who we're speaking with now. And Sister Natalie, there may be someone out there who wants to donate to you all. Can they send the money to a post office box or...
they can send it directly to us at 565 South Parkway East. That's directly to our location. We don't have a P.O. box. We just have our regular address. As well as if they wanted to, again, go online, they can definitely do it online through different payment instruments that we use online. So, or they can just give us a call at area code 901-774-5032 or stop by. We are there from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Our doors are open and we ain't scared of our people.
That's right. And what is that zip code there, sister?
38106.
Okay. That's Memphis, Tennessee, 38106.
That's right, Memphis, Tennessee, 38106. So come by anytime and talk to us and visit the school, take a tour. Our children love to show you what they know.
That's right. They really do. They really do. And like we said, you know, this is a challenge. This is a call to action to those of us who are financially able to put our children in private schools, send them to a black school.
That's right. Make the sacrifice.
That's right. That's right. For those of us who are financially able to start an institution, let's start some black schools. Let's start some African schools in the hood. I mean, this school is in the heart of South Memphis. Like she just said, we can't be afraid of our people.
No.
That's right.
And brother, yeah, they go on and close this out. We got about a good minute left. And Sister Natalie, again, we want to thank you so much for sharing your evening with us. And you all, let's support the God. Let's wrap our arms around the Marcus Garvey Institute and keep it going.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And once more and again, we as Brothers Keeper, people who tend to put our ears to the ground and understand that we have to do something right now at this particular time to save us and to save our children. So we want to put the call out to all brothers and sisters that can help the Marcus Garvey Institute keep the doors open. We want to put the call out for all sisters and brothers who could start institutions that will pick up after the Marcus Garvey Institute, after sixth grade on up. We want to put the call out for brothers and sisters who could start some hospitals for the black community in the hood, some clinics, some basketball teams, some of everything. Because one thing we have to understand is that if we don't reach the children, if we don't save the babies, then eventually we all die. So we have to train the ones that are going to come up and keep the ball rolling for us. And if we're not doing that, then we're heading on the path of destruction. So I just want to let Sister Natalie know and the Marcus Garvey Institute know that we're at you all's service by whatever means y'all need us to be. We want to let the brothers and sisters in our listening audience know that we love you enough to bring you the truth and give you some solutions to getting out of some of the problems that we're having. So I just want to let you know that Brothers Keeper does everything that we do with love. And we love y'all.
That's right. That's right. So holler black at us next Tuesday at the same black time, same black station. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I am. A revolutionary.
A revolutionary.
Let's go make good change, black people. Black power, we love you.
Black people. Peace.